Go rights.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. About, not quite 2 months ago in January, we did a program on prevention of elder abuse, and we did get quite a number of calls. And my guests on that program, Linda Kramer and Deborah Kramer Radin, were on, and we decided that the need is here for doing something like this. So tonight is part two of our discussion of prevention of elder abuse. My guests are specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, Deborah Kramer Radin, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Her office is in Los Altos. My other guest is Deputy District Attorney Janet Berry of the Elder and Dependent Adult Fraud Unit of the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office. And for those of you who are interested, we'll give you a chance to call in and ask some questions in a little while. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies 11 specialties, and they are appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is provided by the family law section of the State Bar and the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Janet and Deborah, welcome.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. Could you do this? Let's start off with who most of the time are the culprits with respect to causing elder abuse when we're talking about financial?
So it's
Deborah.
Thank you. In my experience, it's the people who are closest to you.
I know your own family.
Your own family, your caregiver, the people who know you best and you trust the most.
I'd like to add to that. It is the people close to you, and oftentimes that can be members of your social group. And it's hard to consider this as it might be. Oftentimes it's places like churches, retirement communities that you belong to, or clubs.
Incredible.
It really is.
Here you are. Is it that you believe, both of you, that as someone becomes older, that he or she becomes more trusting and less apt to be skeptical about how someone is treating them? Or what comments do you have, Deborah, on that? What's been your experience?
So in my experience, there's a combination. It could stem from loneliness. It could be that as we get older, the people that we love might not be there anymore, yeah, and we try and fill that void. Some of it could be caused by cognitive issues going on, medical issues going on. As we're also, I think, trained for years to be trusting, to be polite, to not to offend anybody, and we want to bring those people in and be polite and say thank you and answer the phone when the phone rings. We're not used to hanging up on people.
So are you saying that we need to, those of us who are getting older, we need to be more apt to not be so polite on the phone and hang up? You scammer, you!
Well, no. In the current generation of elders, and elder, legally speaking, for criminal law, is anyone 65 or older, you know, they were raised in a really different time. And there was a time when they felt comfortable doing business on a handshake.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. And not locking our doors.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And trusting people in your community.
Yeah.
And so I think with regard to the phone, you can avoid plenty of us have sort of this Pavlovian reaction to answering the phone. I mean, the phone rings, we go for it. And that also applies, if I can digress for 10 seconds, that also applies when people ask for information about us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your driver's license number? I've been in the store. Well, will you give us your phone number? Mm-hmm. How about your zip code? And I say no, but it took some practice to do that. So we kind of voluntarily are trained to do exactly that. My suggestion is, for phones particularly, get an answering machine that will let you screen your phone calls. And do not answer the phone unless you know who's on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you'll know that you're getting lots of phone calls from scammers is you'll hear lots of hang-ups.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So if you are, if you have the, an answering machine, and that's what the scammer is hearing, you'll hear the phone click.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to the answering machine. They want to bait you.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. Elders are targeted,
yes.
Are they not?
Yes, they really are.
And you were telling us before we went on the air, Janet, that people who are the ones who can analyze, let's say, the condition of an older person, whether there's some potential dementia or whatever, are whom? And tell us why.
Oh, the scammers are... phone scammers tend to be people from out of the country. And we're not talking about an isolated few people. We're talking about an entire industry mm-hmm. of people dedicated to finding and swindling elders. It's fairly easy to find elders. You can go to websites that collect information, and for a price, you can legally buy. You can enter search terms for people over 65 who are homeowners in Santa Clara County, and you will get names, home addresses, phone numbers.
Oh, wow.
Of those. Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. Oh, even worse. You can pay a little bit more. You can find out what organizations those people have donated to.
Oh.
You can find out whether they're veterans or not. You can find out if there's a grandparent in the home.
Mm-hmm.
This is all information that a scammer can use to set up to swindle somebody. And I think, Deborah, you were mentioning a very popular scam that's been going on for years now related to grandparents.
Right. My clients come in regularly these days and say they got a call from... They believed that it was their grandson calling from Mexico, and the scammers know what's going on in the news. They know, it's scary down there, or it might be, and the grandson is on the phone panicked. Grandma, I'm in jail. You've got to wire me money immediately, or else I'm going to be in jail, and I have no way of getting out.
Right.
And the grandparent very often believes it.
And, you know, this one actually... I don't think is so related to cognitive decline mm-hmm. or the special needs of a senior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who among us at 2 a.m. getting that kind of phone call isn't going to react?
Sure.
And the scam is based on creating a false emergency, and somebody's in deep trouble and they need money right now. And the way you can take care of that is take a moment to breathe, hang up the phone, and if the person said they're your grandson Chuck, get off the phone and call Chuck
mm-hmm.
and call Chuck's parents
yeah.
and Chuck's siblings. Chances
yeah.
are he's home
yeah.
having dinner.
Yeah. yeah.
So as the people that we, the younger, mm-hmm. the grandson or the son, mm-hmm. what do we do to protect our mother, our aunt?
Please do not put your travel plans on your Facebook page.
Mm.
Please.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Scammers watch that stuff.
Well,
oh, they're
it's dumb. Great stuff for burglarizing one's home.
Thank you.
Hey,
yes, I'm trying.
Why not? This helps the business.
By the way, this also applies for when you get an email from a friend in London.
Oh, yes.
Who just got, not arrested, but just got robbed. And they have no idea.
I got one of those
yeah.
yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I got it, yeah.
What that means is a friend of yours' email has been hacked. So
yeah.
you don't send him any
yeah.
money, but you email your friend and say you've been hacked.
Isn't that wonderful? I got an email last week from supposedly a solicitor in London who said that I was a member of a family, and I think there was something
yeah.
like, I don't know, £800,000, you know, which is worth more than a dollar per pound, like maybe a couple of bucks. And this person wanted me to respond. Well, I did, and I said, I sent an email back, and I said, you're just a scammer. I didn't
nice
get
good.
Anything to say. I'm not a scammer. Why is it, do you believe, that older persons are so interested in the lottery, sweepstakes, etc.? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Because at least in my experience of the complaints that I have gotten from people as a deputy DA in the Consumer Protection Unit, are you not getting... The headset is not working?
No, it's not.
Oh, my goodness.
That's okay. I can talk.
All right. as long as you can hear me.
Yeah.
I thought it was working there for a while, and now it's not working. Okay. In any event, I got thrown by by your having a problem with the headset.
You're talking about sweepstakes?
Why we're so attracted? Why right. elders are attracted?
Why are elders so attracted to sweepstakes? What's going on? Because, I think, at least in my experience, most of the people who have complained to my office about this, elder persons, are well off. They are, it's not that they're hurting, but there's something that's going on that gets them excited. And those persons who have complained, it is a scam. What is going on here? Can you tell us?
I have a few thoughts to share.
Yeah.
One is, we all want something for nothing.
Yes.
I mean, we do. Secondly, I don't know about the demographics wealth-wise as far as people who go for sweepstakes. I do know that a number of people, especially the leading edge of the boomers, a lot of their retirement savings got taken away in the crash that happened not so long ago.
Yes, yes.
And they're finding themselves having to work longer. Mm-hmm. And I think they're more worried about their retirement funds and their ability to pay for medical expenses and to help, they'd like to help their kids, maybe their grandkids with college.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's an extra pressure on them. Added to that, there's a bit of normally occurring cognitive decline that starts to happen, I hate to say it, in our 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place you notice that, the first place that shows up is in the financial area, because it's the ability to reason and to make sound judgments that starts to waver first. And the sweepstakes scammers, they are so good.
They're clever.
They are an industry. We're talking about organized crime here. And they use fairly sophisticated psychological techniques. You know, if they sense that an elder is wavering or maybe not going to take the bait. I have heard this. I heard this fabulous FBI recording of an actual scammer who said, "Well, Mrs. So-and-so, you might not want this $50,000, but isn't there someone in your family? Someone who really needs it. Maybe somebody who has medical bills or wants to go to college. Mrs. So-and-so, wouldn't you really like to provide for them?" I mean, they're shameless. They're utterly shameless.
Well, yeah, they are shameless. They're very dangerous.
Yes.
And it's incredible what they will try to do and what they end up doing. One of the things that I have found, at least in my dealings with people who have complained and who have been victims, is they've been encouraged, and this is not just for older persons. It can be anyone who's foolish enough, and please don't feel that I'm knocking people, but you've got to be as practical and skeptical as you might want to be, is wiring money from whatever, whether it's Western Union or from your own bank to some other bank. I think it is a great mistake, and I'm wondering if you have some comments about the wiring of money, and that includes sending checks to people who you don't know at all. I'm a great believer from a general standpoint of consumer protection that if you are not familiar with a particular company, but you think that there's something valuable about this transaction you're trying to get into, and let's say it's not an eBay thing where you can use PayPal, I think you need to use your credit card, and that if the product or whatever it is doesn't come through, or it comes through and it's broken or whatever, you can always file a written dispute with your credit card company, and that gives you some protection. Don't use a debit card.
Right.
Don't send a check. Don't wire any money, and that way things can improve. Do you have any comments about this?
I think you're straight on there. Mm-hmm. I would like to add something about wiring money that a lot of people don't know. Scammers will say if there's the grandchild scam, I'm in Mexico, and please wire money to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So one would logically conclude, well, it couldn't be a scammer because I'm wiring it to Mexico, and I know that my grandkid is there or not, but... The thing to know about wiring money is when you go through Western Union or MoneyGram, No matter where in the world you wire that money, there is a particular number attached to that specific transaction. And if the scammer has the number of that transaction, they can pick up the money anywhere in the world.
Anywhere they want.
And the scammer can be, like, right down the street. So if you're on the phone with somebody who says you've won this amazing, wonderful thing, but you have to send us, like your example, $100,000, go to your bank, get the money, and send it. And bring me back the number that's attached to it, bang, you've got a scammer on your hands.
Incredible. By the way, the $100,000 thing, and I think I may have mentioned this on a previous program, is this little woman who was a widow owning a home completely outright in Burlingame, which is if you're not familiar with Burlingame, a rather high-level residential area. And she gets a call from somebody who identifies himself as the attorney for the Canadian Lottery. Mrs. So-and-so, I want to tell you, and he identifies who he is, you have won $500,000. But what you need to do before we can issue you the check, you need to pay the taxes. And under Canadian law, the taxes are $100,000. So this woman, well off, had two credit cards. She wrote checks on each, $50,000 each, sent off the two checks. With respect to the credit cards, a week later she gets a call from the same guy saying, Mrs. So-and-so, this is me again, the attorney for the Canadian Lottery. We made a mistake. I'm terribly sorry. I apologize. You've won $1 million. And but you have to pay the taxes. You have to pay another $100,000. So she begins to want to refinance her home. I find out about this. Fortunately, one of the inspectors in my office, the San Mateo County DA's office, goes out to this little lady's house, was able to stop her from doing this. We never got back for her the $100,000. I even contacted the Royal Mounted Police in Canada and the FBI. Nothing. Nothing. And who knows? You know, that person who said, I'm in Canada, right. I'm the attorney for the Canadian Lottery, he could have been down the street.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know. So you got to be particularly careful. You've got family and...
Yes, so just in when Chuck, you mentioned credit cards and the use credit cards, then there's a written record.
Yes.
I would add another layer of protecting yourself. And there are different ways to do that. But from a legal perspective, have layers of people that you trust there.
Oh,
so perhaps with the credit card, maybe there is a son that you really trust and you're comfortable with that son having access to seeing what's going on, and review your statements periodically and allow him to do that if that's somebody you trust. Another way to do that, though, is put in place good, solid legal documents. So if there is a problem, the people that you trust who you can rely on have the authority and have the powers they need to protect you.
You're talking about a power of attorney.
A financial power of attorney.
Yeah.
It could be a trust if necessary, but at minimum, a financial power of attorney and an advanced health care directive would be the two.
What age generally do you feel someone should think about doing this?
Once they turn age 18, actually.
Really?
And once
that
they're
early.
18,
really?
If there's
Because you never know what's going to happen.
You just don't know. And of course...
Mm-hmm.
Many people come in and say, I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to get dementia. I'm never going to die. I always want them to come back and tell me how they managed to do that.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Janet, you've told us before we went on the air that some of these scammers who have gotten older persons to pay money over a period of time and keep hounding them. And, of course, you've also told me that there are lists available that are exchanged or sold between all of these scammers. If a scammer starts to really pressure someone and actually, let's say, threaten someone, by the way, I know where you live, and I know who your relatives are, you need to pay this. Now, have you experienced that with some of the victims that you have dealt with in your role as a deputy DA in Santa Clara County? Have you had this happen?
Yeah, I'm currently working with a woman who is having a really difficult time with her mom. The scammers called on the phone, and she's been sending the money over time for at least the last year, kind of regular payments, yeah.
How much has she said? Do you have any idea?
I don't have a total figure, and if I did it candidly, I probably wouldn't be able to share it. But
yeah.
She's making regular trips to her bank.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and here's how brazen the scammers are. They are usually out of the country, and they will send. They call up the taxis, and they will send the taxi over to the elder's house to pick the elder up, take her to the bank. And I say her because it's usually a female, because women live longer than men. Take her to the bank, make cash withdrawals, go to Western Union, and wire the money. That's how brazen they are. And over time, you know, so let's say the elder starts talking to people like Deborah.
Sure.
And Deborah starts filling them in on what the heck is going on. And so the elder starts to withdraw a bit. The scammers start threatening and saying, we will come over to your house. And the problem is, they do know where you live.
Sure.
And of course the elder's going to be frightened.
Yeah.
And we do have that going on.
What recommendation do you have when that happens?
Well, I think Deborah can probably speak to the issues of conservatorship and if that's an appropriate time. Because if you have an elder who's going to lose their house, at some point you got to step in. And there's really not a lot of law enforcement
but
can do.
If there is a threat like that, and apparently an elder would be so afraid, might not do anything, but if I were informed of this by, let's say, a neighbor or a relative saying, my mom's really under the influence of this scammer, number one, I would suggest that the police be brought in just to do an investigation.
Oh, sure.
Two, I would also suggest that Adult Protective Services in the particular county, which in Adult Protective Services are in every county in the state of California, be called. Now, one of the things that I know in my experience is that some older persons, if Adult Protective Services gets involved, are very concerned, I'm going to lose my independence. They're going to take me out of my house. They're going to put me somewhere, et cetera. Do you have some comments about that, Deborah? Because I certainly do, but go ahead.
It's a valid concern.
Mm-hmm.
It is a scary thought.
Yes.
I want people to be in control before it gets to that point.
Yes.
A conservatorship is it's a court process. It's a very difficult process. It's potentially very expensive. It's very often a necessary result.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
before we get to that point, I have a client I'm dealing with right now. It's a daughter whose mother's in her 85-ish, and this 65-year-old man befriended her through church and gradually ingratiated himself into this mother's home. The mother was lonely, had some dementia issues, but thank goodness for the mother when the daughter finally realized there was real serious abuse going on. Mother had a good financial power of attorney. She had documents in place. Daughter was able to temporarily move mom into her own home and then into an assisted living area just temporarily until they could get this man out of the home. And it really is temporary. And that's the plan. Daughter's on board with this. She doesn't want mom to be in a strange environment.
I think you also told me then before we went on the air, and correct me if I'm wrong, this man had actually looted this woman's bank accounts.
Yes, and mom is 85 years old, had apparently this a Toyota Camry that she loved, took care of, very low mileage. All of a sudden, she bought this giant Ram truck, brand new, 30, 40.
She'd look good driving that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ram is four-wheeling, you know.
Wow, why not?
Right, and, you know, and this is what she decided to buy, and turns out he drove off in the truck when this mother was out of money. So we're trying to get the truck back. And
Are you really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
We don't want him.
Is there some kind of a prosecution going on this guy?
So this one's brand new, but
okay,
it will be in process.
It sounds like he needs to be criminally prosecuted.
He's a predator.
Yeah.
And
spend some nice time in a nice facility.
Three hots and a cot.
Real nice. Maybe not the nicest of meals, but at least he can count on some meals.
Away from being a predator.
That's right. Say. Away from the phone, for God's sake.
Yeah, right. give him no cell phone in that cell.
Yeah,
right. No cell phone in that cell. We need to do that.
You're right. Okay. And by the way, folks, I really want to encourage you, you know, if your little neighbor, you haven't seen her in a while, and you usually see her once a week, or her mail's piling up, or she's, or you see when a familiar elder who's losing weight or seems anxious or scared of somebody in particular, you don't have to know what's going on. You don't have to have all the information. Please call Adult Protective Services, because that's what they do. They show up. They have a chat. Our elders really depend on us to be looking out for them. And by the way, if you're out of town, you haven't, you know, my own folks are in Oregon, and so I can't just jaunt up there to go see them. But what you can do if you can't just get right in your car and go see your elder is you call the police in the city where they live and ask them, tell them, I haven't talked to my mom in a while. I'm worried. She didn't sound so good the last time I talked to her. Please go do a welfare check.
And this is certainly something that the police departments will do.
Absolutely.
In spite of how terribly busy they are, they will do this.
This is your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
So don't be hesitant about that at all. We are getting close to the end of the statewide version of the program. For those of you who are listening to us live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the internet at www.kalw.org, we will be taking some calls in just a few minutes. Let me also mention to you this, that next week we are going to do our annual Call a CPA night. We're going to be doing on the air, preparing your 2012 tax return. I hope you're working on your 2012 as opposed to 2010 or 29 or 2011. But in any event, that's what we're doing next week, and our Call a CPA night. So let me give you the number for that. Whether you listen to the program live or not, you can call in and speak to one of the CPAs off the air. No obligation whatsoever. This is a great public service that the California CPA Society performs with six or seven or maybe sometimes eight CPAs. That number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. That's for next week for Call a CPA Night. All right. It is just about 7:27 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing part two of Prevention of Elder Abuse, and I now want to invite you, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, something you would like to contribute that you feel might be helpful to others, the number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. This program is funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. This is, it's unusual that I would do two prevention of elder abuse programs within such a short period of time. But because of all of the calls that we got in, I think it was January 23rd, it was very apparent that we needed to do something and cover some other issues. So I hope you join us. My guests are Janet Berry. She's a deputy district attorney for the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office in the Elder and Dependent Adult Fraud Unit. My other guest is specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, Deborah Kramer-Raden, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Her offices are in Los Altos, so I hope you join us. Before we take our first call, let me just mention to you, if you want to try to find a specialist in any one of the 11 areas, you can call the statewide number or go to the website. The statewide number for the Board of Legal Specialization is www.californiaspecialist.org, californiaspecialist.org. The statewide telephone number is 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. One other thing that I'd like to mention to you, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in the state of California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area and set you up for a half an hour consultation, nose to nose, well, not quite nose to nose with the attorney, but face to face. If it's a problem of some disability you may have, I'm sure they'll try to do something so you have a consultation by phone. The cost will be, for half an hour, depending on the county, a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. It's a great consumer service, so I hope you take advantage of it. All right, let's do this then. Eleanor, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello.
You are on the air, Eleanor.
All right.
You've got the air, my dear.
So a while ago, when you talked about answering the telephone when it rings, and you said, don't answer that telephone. My question is there a danger in answering it, even if you immediately realize that this is someone who's either a scammer or just trying to sell you something, and you, as I do say, take me off your phone list and hang up?
Let me ask you this. What do you think the danger is, Eleanor? Even if you pick up the phone, what do you think it is?
That somehow, well, I'm not sure that somehow that you get on a list of being home or being more vulnerable or being someone who...
You're probably on the list already.
All right.
That's the problem. Certainly, if you hang up, as we have discussed, this is very valuable. The difficulty is if you don't hang up, because these people are so clever. If you start talking to them, they are really clever. They are nice people to talk with. They sound nice. They're going to make you feel good, and you're going to give information that you should not give out, and that's the danger. Do you have some comments on this, Janet?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, it's the more you pick up the phone, the more phone calls you're going to get.
Yeah.
The robocalls that scammers use, well, telemarketers too, they can tell when somebody picks up the phone even if you don't say anything. Mm-hmm. And so you get put into the database of people who pick up the phone in the afternoon or whenever. And one of the reasons I recommend... just getting an answering machine that lets you figure out who's on the other end of the line. I call my folks, and every time that their answering machine picks up, I'm happy, really happy.
Good.
Then I start talking, and they pick up.
So if they know it's you, will they hang up on you?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like I told
my... No, not her.
You know, when we were talking about the grandparent scam, I told my folks, you know, look, if you ever get a call from me saying I'm in jail and send me money, I told them, leave me in jail. And they said, okay, honey.
Leave me in jail. That'd be fun. Send me a card. I'll be there. Okay. Eleanor, does this help? Oh, wait a minute. Deborah,
I was just
going
to add to Eleanor is that we are all so ingrained to be polite. It's very difficult. Once you pick up the phone and start talking, it's so difficult to hang up and be rude and just hang up on somebody.
I'm a grouch. I mean,
oh, good.
Eleanor, you don't sound like a grouch.
I should have been trained.
You don't at all, dear.
Good.
But hang up on us right now, will you, so that we know.
Okay.
Hey, take care, Eleanor.
Thanks very much for calling. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, 1-415-841-4134. Patrick, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Sure.
My 75-year-old friend of 15 years was somewhat dirty, kept more cats than she needed, but I would come over daily and sort of clean up after the cats.
How old did you say she was, Patrick? How old did you say she was?
75,
okay.
But I knew her first when she was 60. Mm. Anyway, she lived longer than her doctor, so we needed to get a doctor for her. She had shingles. Mm. And we went to Kaiser, and before they would send a doctor, they don't have house calls anymore. They sent a social worker who discovered that my friend was dirty and sitting on a main couch and had a few bottles of alcohol within reach. She rarely drank, but they were within reach. Mm-hmm. And so the Adult Protective Services took her into custody. She didn't want to be in custody. She had grown up on the riverbanks of the Mississippi River in Minnesota and was a strong, independent woman that had been Rosie the Riveter and mm-hmm. driven taxi in the city. Anyway, she asked 1,000 times, I heard her, please let me go home. And, of course, she was in custody at a nursing care. And she finally just kind of her brain exploded with a cerebral hemorrhage, and she died.
Oh,
in custody. She lasted 5 months under the care of the nursing home.
So, you're not happy with the fact that she was taken under, control.
But she just needed a doctor for her shingles. But she was dirty. But I tried to get her to clean up, but she was the boss of her own house.
Tell me this, Patrick, and I don't want you to give me a lot of details. What county mm-hmm. was that?
San Francisco.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, yeah. that's very unfortunate. Deborah.
I just would like to ask, did she ever give anybody else control? If she were not able to do something, did she ever give you, for example, a power of attorney or health care agent?
Yes.
So you had a power of attorney?
Correct.
And did you attempt with that power of attorney once the Adult Protective Services took her into custody to try to do something to get her?
I did. I hired an attorney. We eventually won the case, but she had died long before that.
It took
like 3 years.
What a shame.
Actually, it took almost 5 years.
Oh.
Would you believe that the attorney absconded with $55,000 from a trust fund?
Are you talking about the attorney who you hired?
Yes.
That's outrageous. Did you report that to the police?
I reported it to the state bar.
No. Did you report it to the police? You know, he should be prosecuted.
Absolutely.
He should be prosecuted, and he should be in prison.
But he's done this to a number of people.
How many years ago was this that this occurred?
It started in 2000. I guess she died 6 months after 2000.
And the discovery of his stealing...
2005.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, if you would, Janet. I think we have, unfortunately, a statute of limitations problem, but...
Mm-hmm.
Do you have personal knowledge that he's done this to other people?
Yes.
How do you know this?
Well, the attorneys that look at his record, his license has been suspended a number of times. It's suspended right now.
Do you know any of the people, any names of the people who he swindled?
The attorney that I'm working with now, I think, it just shows the record that his license was suspended several times for doing this.
This guy needs to be, if the statute of limitations has not expired on this criminal conduct of his, he needs to be prosecuted.
Have you really, may I offer you some advice?
Yes.
You got to call the cops.
Yeah.
You got to call the cops because people like predators like this, and they are predators.
Yeah.
They might have a law license. This guy's a predator. You got to call the cops.
Yeah.
And the other thing to know is even with a statute of limitations issue, and by that we mean, for fraud cases, elder fraud, you have, if you're going to file charges, you generally have to do it within 4 years of the date of the fraud. But if law enforcement was unable to discover the fraud until, say, last year, then that becomes the date of discovery, and if we file with certain language in the filing document, it's not a bar to prosecution. Now, a successful prosecution for the swindling your friend probably won't succeed because she can't testify about what happened to her.
It was actually swindling me.
Well, you got to call the cops, and not just for yourself, but to protect other people because this guy's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Patrick, take care. And if you don't get a good response from the police department, and I I'm not saying that you won't. My feeling is you call the San Francisco District Attorney's office and speak to one of the investigators there, because somebody's got to take this up and move on this. This is terrible. And I, at this point, you know, I know nothing about this case, but if this guy has been suspended so many times, I would think that possibly the state bar would have referred this to the San Francisco DA's office, mm-hmm. if this attorney, you know, is a San Francisco, was a San Francisco practitioner. But please look into this. This guy should not continue to be out in the public. Thank you very much for calling, and I wish you the best of luck. Here's a question that was brought in, and it goes back to one of the earlier things we were talking about. This has been written down and brought in. It's kind of lengthy, so bear with me if you don't mind. At the start of the program, you said that the greatest number of scammers are family members and friends. What advice do you have for elders to protect themselves? Sometimes the family member's conduct falls in a gray area, especially if they stand to inherit part of the estate. Perhaps the family member wants to conserve as much of the estate as possible, and as a result, the elder is not receiving the best of care, and optimal care is being withheld. Is that elder abuse?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Deborah, would you like to start on this one?
I think we both have
stuff to say.
We do have opinions. So in my experience, a client will come in and say, I'm going to appoint my oldest son as my trustee, as my agent under my financial power of attorney. He's the oldest. I would never want to offend him. You've really got to trust your instincts and trust your knowledge. If the client will go on and say, you know, my son, he's the oldest, he's one appointed, but he has some financial issues, he lost his job recently. Act on that instinct, act on that knowledge, and don't worry about offending somebody. You put somebody in there that you trust and who's going to act in your best interest and be your advocate.
And from your standpoint, with the scenario that we're given, is that elder abuse?
Oh, absolutely.
Elder physical abuse?
Not in the facts as presented, but it really does depend. I mean, if mom's not getting holding back optimal care. Well, if she's not getting her blood pressure meds when she needs them, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's Penal Code Section 368, Sections B and C. This would be a C for neglect. It certainly falls within the realm of neglect. It's pretty darn serious.
Yeah.
It also, from the sound of it, would qualify for the financial abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And don't keep this stuff a secret. You can, again, call the Adult Protective Services about this stuff.
Yes.
I do have some suggestions about how to head this off, because it is really, really hard for a parent to say to the child that they bore, I don't want you to have my power of attorney, or I don't feel comfortable giving it to you. I have some suggestions. And when you decide, as Deborah mentioned earlier, the time to decide who to give your power of attorney to needs to happen sooner rather than later. And the way you do it is this. You have a family meeting. Have all your kids there, because usually you want to give it to somebody you know. Have all your kids there. Have a couple of friends who are not members of the family who you've known for a long time. If you have nieces, nephews, siblings who are people you trust and you want in on this discussion, invite them. Then you have a talk. And the talk goes, I want to delegate somebody as my, appoint somebody as my power of attorney. By the way, somebody who has power of attorney has to accept it.
Oh, of course.
And understand that you're asking somebody to do a really darned important fiduciary job for you.
Oh, yes.
They are responsible for acting on your behalf only and not their own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so what you do is you have a discussion, and everything gets written down on paper. And you have a discussion with everybody there. If you have somebody that you would like to be your power of attorney, you can go ahead and ask them. If they accept, then you put conditions. You say, okay, that person agrees to provide you, first of all, provide you with a monthly accounting of everything that they have done mm-hmm. with your finances.
Mm-hmm.
They have to provide everybody else at the table with a monthly accounting.
Oh, that's a very great
They have
way
to provide, you can get three free credit reports from the credit reporting agencies. And by the way, don't buy credit reports from somebody that says, somebody who advertises online. You can get them for free, and you don't know who's picking up the phone at the other place. So the POA guarantees that the elder will have their...
That's power of attorney.
Right. Sorry. Credit reports. Now, before you give your POA over, and by the way, you can delegate a power of attorney. You get the document signed by you, witnessed by two witnessed and witnesses, and notarized. But that does not mean you have to hand that piece of paper to the person that you're appointing as your power of attorney. Mm-hmm. You can hang on to it for 30 years, mm-hmm. which I recommend doing because a lot can change mm-hmm. in 30 years. Mm-hmm. A lot can change in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, a little bit of advice. If you have a relative who has drug or alcohol or gambling problems, not them. If you have a relative who's never been able to hold a job and has just kind of schluffed, you know, couch surfed his whole life, not that person. If you have a person with, you know, who's really kind of generally emotionally unstable, not them. Somebody who's controlling and tends to run things, not them. And this is why you want to have a couple of old friends with you.
Yeah.
Because family discussions can be quite difficult. And you want somebody in your corner who's not linked up to any of this stuff. Feel free to take a breather. Powers of attorney, if you end up feeling not so great about it, you can revoke them.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
And get them back. And to just to add to something Deborah said, you're so right. If just pay attention to your instinct. If you have a relative who wants your power of attorney, or you're just thinking about them, but you just kind of have that, I don't know, that sort of uh-oh feeling, mm-hmm. pay attention to that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know your family.
Yeah. If your tummy starts kind of shaking or feels achy or whatever, that's an indication that you want to be really careful. All right. Okay. By the way, we'll take some more calls in just a minute. Let me mention to those of you who might be interested, tomorrow, actually March 14th, at the San Mateo County Law Library in Redwood City, Alex Easterbrook, a criminal defense attorney who I've known and worked with and in opposition to over the years, a great guy, is going to do a presentation on expungement of criminal records or sealing of records. And if you're interested and want to find out what's going on, you can contact you. Actually, it's tomorrow at noon at the Law Library, and that is at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. It's across the street from the Hall of Justice, the tall 8-story building there. If you want more information, you can call 650-363-4913, 363-4913. All right, let's take another call. Steve, welcome to the program. Thank you for being so patient.
Hi there. Great program. After your previous description of all the people to not give the power of attorney to, I don't think there's anybody else left in our family.
We're all a bunch of...
So, that's why you want lots of eyes on everything.
Right, exactly. See, I had worked for a large bank, and we had to actually take annual training in spotting financial abuse.
Oh, that's good.
This was online. It was very interesting, and I learned stuff on that every year, and I'm a lot more cautious. Now, this guy that I went to college with actually got into trouble, and they were doing a scam, and I found out from this other friend what they were doing was they found elders that were scammed and then traded to get their phone numbers and would call them up and say that they could get it back.
Oh.
And that was just the worst thing. And so these people really just have to be careful. Would you care to tell a couple of yours? That are especially kind of ingenious. I mean,
it's a scam upon a scam.
If this guy had put his brain to being good, he could have done a lot of good.
No, that's the problem.
To go to all that effort. Yeah. So, would you tell a couple of the ones that are intricate like that?
We got something for you, Steve. Thank
Great
you very
job.
Much. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Calling. Any comments you want to follow up with?
Well, Steve, I think you described it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, scam victims, given that there are, you know, scammers have lists of people who will pick up the phone and send money and respond to a scam. They sell those lists to each other. Hmm. So they know who's been victimized. I mean, we're talking about an entire industry here. Fraud is just bigger than you. If you imagine the biggest amount of money you can imagine, it's bigger than that. So that's how they find elders, and that's exactly what they do. They pretend to be private investigators or attorneys who have the power to get money back. And you know, I mean, they can tell endless numbers kinds of stories about it, but it's all basically what you said. And this is another reason why we need to really support our elders and be part of their lives. Yes. Make sure they don't get isolated. Isolation is one of the biggest predictors for fraud victimization. Deborah, do you have ideas?
Well, I was going to say my experiences tend to be more one-on-one. They're not I don't experience the fraud at the level that you do for the most part. But it's the isolation. So one example I'm dealing with right now is an elder who was isolated over time by her caregiver. Her caregiver had to live in the home. This woman needed help. She was in her 90s. The son was deceased. The grandchildren lived out of the area. And the grandchildren would send cards and flowers, and the caregiver would actually, because the woman couldn't walk to the mailbox, she would throw away their cards return the flowers. And she would say, look at this. Your grandchildren, your own family doesn't care about you. Isn't this terrible? But my grandchildren love you, Granny. And this woman ended up giving more and more money to this caregiver, to her family. And it's a terrible situation that
Incredible.
We're trying to unwind.
Incredible.
So that's more my experience.
But, oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, let's take another call. All right, Kelly, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to share a positive experience, and I have no idea if this is helpful to your listeners, but my elderly mother lived alone, and she was quite hard of hearing, but also didn't always trust her ability to really understand the narrative of what callers were saying. And she didn't have a call screening.
Mm-hmm.
But she had an unwavering policy of saying to callers, I don't conduct business over the phone. So if what you're calling about, if you would like to send me information in the mail about this, you're welcome to do so. Now, she wouldn't give them her address because they never asked for it.
That's convenient.
But alternatively, she would say, sometimes, I guess it depended on the call, I don't conduct my business over the phone. My daughter will be happy to call you back if you would like to leave your phone number with me. I will have her call you. At one time, it was her bank, and it was you know, fine.
It was legitimate. Uh-huh.
But that was, she said, usually they would just say, you know, whatever. Oh, okay, thank you for your time.
Yeah. Your mother was very clever, frankly.
Yeah, I did have to hand it to her because I certainly, you know, no disrespect to her, but she felt like she wasn't really super keen all the time.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And she just felt like that was one way that she could pick up the phone, but, you know.
That's a brilliant idea.
She was very aware.
And to protect our loved ones, we need to rehearse these lines.
Absolutely.
I think the rehearsal was
rehearsed.
The thing, and that's, I think, why I said it was unwavering.
Yes, mm-hmm. She practiced that.
Because that was the policy. Mm-hmm. I do not conduct personal business
her.
By
yeah.
telephone.
Yeah.
You're welcome to send me information by
sure.
mail.
Sure.
That's a great suggestion.
Thank you for that story.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you for the program.
Yes. Very, very nice to hear from you. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, my guest, in case you tune us in late, and I hope you've been here more than just 5 minutes, our specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, Deborah Kramer Radin, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Her offices are in Los Altos. And Deputy District Attorney Janet Berry, the Elder and Dependent Adult Fraud Unit of the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office. And we've got Elaine. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
All right. Thank you so
Hi.
Much.
Sure.
I was driving over the Bay Bridge listening, and I just went and found a phone in Whole Foods Market.
Aren't you great? Oh, you are
Stomach's
great.
Growling.
What city is Whole Foods in
it's
right
San
now?
San Francisco.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
Yeah,
go ahead.
On 4th Street.
You're
but
on, my dear.
This is what my concern is. I have an 81-year-old mother that owns her three-plex house in San Francisco, completely paid for. For the last year, I had friends stay there for free in order to help take care of her. It was a husband and a wife and a six-year-old. They're six-year-olds. They're like trying to get money out of us all of a sudden. They want to maybe even go to court and get back pay.
Oh, but really?
Yeah, but that wasn't the agreement. The agreement was you get to live here free, come and go as you please, and now they're saying they want back pay.
So they live there rent-free.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
Yes. In the Castro.
Oh, my God.
Elaine, let me ask you this. How long did they live there?
For about a year, a little more than a year.
More than a year. And how are they threatening? They're saying, we're going to go to a lawyer, or what are they saying?
They're just saying they're investigating how they could possibly get paid, maybe even back pay.
I hope they're not still in your mom's home.
Are they still living there?
Yes.
Get them out.
Get them out.
I'm on my way there right now.
Get them out of there.
Yeah.
But you
how
be
do
careful.
I get them out?
Yeah,
I mean,
just listen.
Ask them to leave?
Well, listen, yes, you should ask them to leave. But Elaine, at this time, I feel this is serious enough that you need to see a tenant's attorney, a landlord's attorney who represents a landlord. And I guess you had no experience and your mom has had no experience with this. Is that right?
Right.
I'll tell you what, if you'd like tomorrow, call me, or you can call tonight, leave your name and phone number, and I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll talk about this, and maybe I can give you some direction. But this is serious enough that you and your mom should pay something to an experienced lawyer to get these people out of there.
The eviction is a little more complicated.
Yeah,
it's not
eviction,
just asking.
Eviction is
right.
complicated. You mm-hmm. can't just take their stuff and throw it out on the lawn. So let me give you my phone number.
Okay.
Do you know who I am?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a deputy DA, I hope you know that, in San Mateo County, and I'll give you my office number. You can call right now, leave your name and phone number, and while you're calling, I'll call you tomorrow.
Sure, thank you.
It's 650-363-4097.
4097.
That's right. You can call right now, leave a message, and I'll get it tomorrow, and I'll call you back.
Thank you so much for this great show, Kelly. Don't go away.
For other listeners also, this also potentially is an employment law issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Touching on a caregiver agreement or not, tax issues.
Yeah.
So always be aware, if you have some kind of agreement with a caregiver, you need to have a proper agreement. There are tax issues and more.
It's somewhat complicated.
Can I call you, Elaine, about this?
Oh, yes. Start with Chuck.
Let me get you going with somebody, Elaine, that may be helpful and get you going in the right direction. But yes, your mom needs to have some professional help on this.
Yeah, and I thought they were friends of the family.
Yeah, of course.
But, this is how it happens, Elaine.
Yeah.
Hey,
Elaine.
Yeah. They needed a place to stay, and I needed help.
Right.
We are running out of time. You call me tomorrow, Elaine.
Take a big bag and go over to your mother's house. Get your mom in a room. Put everything valuable that she has in that bag. I mean, credit cards, jewelry, checkbooks, everything.
I've been doing a little bit of that.
Great. Clear it out. Clear it out and take her out of the house if you're concerned about her.
Take care, my dear.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
I'll call you back tomorrow.
All right. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us on this part two. I don't know at the rate things were going, there may have to be a part three at some time in the not-too-distant future. Janet Berry, Elder and Dependent Adult Fraud Unit, Deputy DA, Santa Clara County, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you here. And Deborah, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. Deborah,
always a pleasure.
Deborah Kramer-Raden, a specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Your legal rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, preparing your 2012 income tax return, avoiding tax scams, my guest, David Hillman, a certified specialist in tax law, Krista Denton, Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Director, Bar Association of San Francisco. It's also our annual Call a CPA night. I hope you join us then, 1-800-525-9917. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chuck Finger.